Growing up, I didn't have the easiest childhood, really. I knew that as soon as I finished high school, I needed to get out the house. She pretty much kicked us out.
Meet Camden. He grew up in South Africa with his grandma, and then he moved to the UK with nothing but a backpack, no money, and was living in hostels in the UK.
I haven't had any help or financial support, like from 18 to where I am now.
He then worked in cruise ships, and he met a lot of rich people, and he realized that they all have one thing in common. They invest in property.
I worked for like some of the richest people in the world, most influential.
You've seen all the people on the other side, the rich people, and it's like, man, what am I doing wrong? They don't seem to work harder than me, but they're certainly making a lot more money. So Camden set out on a mission to learn everything he could about property investment. Your first deal, I've gone over the numbers of it, and it was a bit of a disaster, and we joked about bringing you on Losers on a Tuesday. This is Winners this on a Wednesday, because you have turned it all around. But tell us what happened and what went wrong.
And
right now, he's completely financially free, controlling over £1 million worth of property. And in this discussion, you're going to learn exactly what he learned and how he's become financially free so that you can do the same thing too, even if you're starting from zero. Stay tuned. Camden, welcome to Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
So you've got an interesting background because you used to work in yachts and you're known now as Sailor Estates, transitioned into property, are doing really well. I know they've had some struggles and challenges, but just give us a little bit of insight into your background and what is it that you were doing before property?
Thank you. So I worked on private luxury yachts for 6 years, which was amazing. I saw a lot of the world. I worked for like some of the richest people in the world, most influential. It's been amazing. One thing that is interesting is like all of the people I worked for and the people, the guests that chartered the yachts, they all invested in property in some form or another.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a second thing for me to just focus on.
A lot of people, even me when I was working on a building site plastering, and you've seen all the people on the other side, the rich people, and it's like, man, what am I doing wrong? They don't seem to work harder than me, but they're certainly making a lot more money.
That's exactly it, yeah.
What were you doing then on the
yachts? So yeah, I started at like the bottom as a deckhand. So you're just literally cleaning the exterior of the boat, keeping it like, you know, immaculate. It's luxury yachts, they're like $300 million plus dollars or pounds, whatever.
Nice.
So yeah, like 130 meters, some of them. But yeah, I started on smaller boats, started sailing as well. Did a few like regattas, some sailing races on like an old classic yacht. I just slowly, you know, did some more courses, I suppose, like qualifications.
Yeah.
And then worked my way up into like a lead tender driver for one of like the largest fleets in the Middle East. So I was just driving the guests around on, you know, these small expensive boats. And then I was also bosun on one of the boats in America. So I had like a team below me and we just looked after the exterior and like the guest experiences.
Did you ever like, you know, when people you see on the TikTok videos, what do you do for a living? How did you make your money? Or is it unprofessional?
We always Googled it.
I
knew what my, but yeah, like the bosses we worked for, some of them were very transparent. So like, yeah, like we knew what they were doing.
Yeah. I sometimes feel like sometimes people might Google me like who's this brummy guy who's on these expensive holidays and trips and yachts and Googling.
I saw Russell in Dubai recently.
Oh, really?
On his Insta, sorry.
Okay. But. And you travel, travel a lot as well. I mean, you just got back from Thailand.
Thailand, of course, in Portugal for New Year's as well. Did a bit of snowboarding there.
Nice.
Never even knew you could snowboard there. But I was away in Thailand for 10 days. Got back, recently.
Yeah.
Which is
amazing. So you realized you wanted to get into property because you saw all these wealthy people doing property. Mm. So what happened? Like, how did it all start? And what was your first purchase?
It all started, I think, like, obviously YouTube helped a lot. As soon as I thought about property, I just typed in UK property on YouTube. You popped up. I just started devouring that useful information. Got me really excited. This was while I was on the boats. And then I thought, let me jump on a crash course. I think it was the one in Liverpool, to be honest.
Maybe.
One of those a few years ago. And I was so hooked. It was just the energy, everything in the room was amazing. And like the ideas and the strategies really clicked in my head.
Yeah.
And at that stage, I went back home to my girlfriend and I just was like, babe, like this is, we need to do this. We need to do this. And she wasn't sold on it at all. So then we were in Liverpool again, actually, when I was purchasing my first property. And I brought her and a friend along to a crash course in Manchester. And then after she saw it, she was like, okay, this is it. Like, go for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the crash course is definitely where it started for me.
Now, your first deal, I've gone over the numbers of it. You brought it to me. I remember the first time you brought it to me. I think we were actually at one of my hotels.
We were.
When you gave me the full details and the breakdown. And it was a bit of a disaster. And we joked about bringing you on Losers on a Tuesday. This is Winners on a Wednesday because you have turned it all around. But tell us what happened and what went wrong with that first purchase that you did, because it was an absolute disaster, wasn't it?
It was definitely a huge learning curve for me. I went into it with like no prior experience, and like I didn't know how to calculate the end value, the GDV, the refurb costs.
Which crash course did you go to? Did you go to the rent-to-rent crash course?
No, so I think it was just like the general crash course. Yeah, to be honest, I can't really remember.
You just loved it and got
excited. So I've always wanted to, like, everyone knows property is a good investment. So we just went to Liverpool, like looked for like a beat in our property.
Yeah.
Found one. Just, I rushed into it. I think my ego was like, I want a property before I was 25 years old or something. I rushed into it. I didn't really know the numbers too well. I only got like one refurb quote and I just went with that. But it had Japanese knotweed. It had the refurb quote was literally, I think it was like 15 grand. It went up to 30,000.
So Japanese knotweed, did you know it had Japanese knotweed?
No. So it didn't even come up on the structural survey.
Dude.
But it is growing over the next door neighbor's fence. My mom and I were like, oh, this is a beautiful plant. Like, you know, this is the best feature.
And just for anyone that doesn't know, what is Japanese knotweed?
So yeah, it's an invasive plant and its roots just go down into anything and they break the structure, they crack bricks. It actually broke the brick wall, damaged like my external rendering.
Ironically, it came from Japan, hence why it's called Japanese.
Exactly.
And the English brought it in because it looks pretty. And I thought, oh, this is a nice plant.
Yeah.
And now we wish we hadn't, because if you've got Japanese knotweed, not just in your back garden, but even in next doors, the valuers, as you know now, will take a very dim view on that. And sometimes they'll refuse to, well, not sometimes, they will usually refuse to lend on the property at all until you get it sorted out. So did you manage to get the Japanese sorted or?
So actually, yes, we did. The next door neighbor, it's actually a council house next door and they've got links in the council. So they had it like professionally removed by the council.
Yeah.
That's all sorted now, thank
you. How much did it cost?
It wasn't on me, it is them actually. Oh. So yeah, because it is like this much more, sorry, on their side of the
wall. So that's something to
wall.
Check then. So when you're buying a property, it's not just about your property, it's about next door.
Definitely.
And if next door's got Japanese knotweed, for example, that can make the structure of your property in jeopardy potentially.
Yeah.
So some big learning curves.
Definitely. Again, and final thing with that property, like after the refurb, after it had all been sorted, there was a big storm and like the roof, like some slates got thrown off, hit a car next door.
Ouch.
Like returning damp, rising damp. So at the time, I just decided to raise some finance. By then, I was on the academy. I had a lot more knowledge.
Yeah.
Raised like £13,000 in finance from one of my international investors. Got that all sorted. And now it's running as an SAL, a very successful one.
Is it now a successful property? Now, are you glad you bought it now?
Literally, like over a grand profit every month.
That's good.
And I've got a six-month booking in there right now. So
respect, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Respect. So you managed to turn it around. I think that's the thing, isn't it? You did the crash course, learned about property, went ahead and did it, but maybe a little bit without... I mean, you didn't have any advanced training. Mm. You didn't have any mentoring. You didn't quite know what you were doing, but you knew enough. But it's turned around and you've worked hard on it and you've managed to turn it around. So what happened then after that? Did that put you off? Or what did your partner think? Was she kind of saying like, I told you what you did? Because she was skeptical at first.
Yeah, no. So she's very supportive. Again, like we knew that we were, I suppose, diving into something new. So, you know, you're not going to get it right the first time. After that, I was like, let me try a different strategy. So then I signed up to the rent-to-rent advanced training. Started doing that, and it took me 6 months to actually find my first property.
Long time.
A lot more than I expected. But I realized that I didn't have the support, the accountability that I do now once joining the academy.
Yeah.
So I think after that, I was very excited. Went on overseas for like a 4-month job on a yacht. That was my final yacht job. Got back and I was like, no, I just need to join the academy now and go all in.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just rocketed.
So just for anyone that's wondering, what's the difference then between the courses? So we run, obviously, the crash course, we run the rent-to-rent training, we have courses. What's the difference between that and the academy?
So the online, the advanced training. So it's just like one section. Yeah. So, you know, rent to HMO, rent to social, service accommodation. So you learn all about that, but you don't have the inner circle meetups. You don't have the, you know, mentoring calls, which for me is just the most magical thing ever. You don't have that community because you're kind of isolated. It's online.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's very good to do.
So you get the information. $995. So it's £1,000 program. Get all the information, but the academy is where you get handholding, support, community.
Yeah.
Where we look at your deals, come out with you, and it's kind of that mountaintop experience. Yeah. What made you make that decision in the end to join the academy? And how did you justify? Because it's a big investment. Mm. How did you justify the investment?
So I think, just seeing people that have joined the academy already, really, you know, at a similar time to when I bought this course, they were like doing such big things and they were where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
The system worked, you know, I was earning decent profit from that one property. You know, I trusted you, I trusted the system, you know, all the training, it really did work. So it was quite easy for me to justify.
Yeah.
I think the return on investments, if you look at the price of the academy to what you receive in the long run, it's just,
yeah,
you know, shadows.
Well, I guess, as I often say, property is a great investment. All the rich people are investing in property, but you can't beat investing in yourself. And if you invest a little bit in yourself first, then when you do invest in property, it's going to be way more successful in the long run. So what happened then? So you're on the academy, you've got your one BRR that was a nightmare at first, but you flipped it around and you've turned it into a service accommodation. It's making £1,000 a month. You're now on the academy. Are you now no longer in work? Have you quit your job at this point?
Yeah, so I went full-time.
Big,
yeah, yeah.
Big
I went,
step, bro.
I went full-time in property. When was it? January, February, March, April. So when I joined the academy in April.
And was that an easy decision or was that a tough decision to make?
So for me, it was quite easy. I was like, I want to do this. Thankfully, I've got a beautiful girlfriend at home, Georgina, and she, you know, she was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll cover the rents and everything. You put all of your time and money.
So she continued working.
She's
so
working
she's
right
like,
now.
Don't worry, babe. I got you.
She's got my back.
I'll pay the bills. You go get rich.
Exactly that. We're a great team. So
that's really helpful. And one of the things I've already noticed about your kind of story that you've said just so far is the ability to be able to take big educated risks. So buying that first property, that was a risk and it went wrong.
It did.
But so was quitting your job. So was joining the academy. So all these things that you've done have been big, ballsy risks that most people would never make. Most people would be like, oh, I'm not buying a house that's run down, that's got all these problems, or I'm not quitting my safe job. I'm not joining the academy because I want to stay safe. But you really made yourself vulnerable and exposed. And that, I think that's a pattern that I can certainly see with yourself. Where does that courage come from? And was it not really scary or do you just not care?
So yeah, like growing up, I didn't have the easiest childhood really. I stayed with my gran. I got like separated from my parents for some personal reasons. I finished high school with my gran, and my gran said she had her own businesses and she made honey and she like made milk and yogurt for the community. She's an amazing woman, Wendy. I knew that as soon as I finished high school, I needed to get out the house. She pretty much kicked us out, myself and my siblings. And they're like, she just said, you need to find a job, you know, like it's all on your own.
So you were how old?
18 years old.
And where were you living at the time?
South Africa.
Whereabouts?
Nuwatuk, so the southern suburbs close to Cape Point, you know, beautiful area. So yeah. I moved to like the center of Cape Town, worked, and pretty much I've just been having to do everything myself. Like I haven't had any help or financial support, like from 18 to where I am now.
So you're kind of forced to do hard things.
And just take risks, you know? So like, saved our money there in South Africa. Then I flew to the UK not knowing anyone, just saying, I'm going to get a job here because I've got a UK passport. My dad was born in Birmingham. So that was like the biggest leap for me, I think, coming here, not knowing what to expect.
How old were you when you moved here?
19 years old.
So you moved here as a teenager with no family.
No family here.
No friends.
No friends.
No money.
Yeah, minimal amount of money.
And just
staying in a backpackers.
Really?
Yeah, in Hammersmith, actually. I think I had like £20 or £30 left to my name and I was like, I need to get a job. And I was looking for a living position, like a bartender, waitering job. And it all just came together. 27 now.
So just 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
What do you think when you look back and you remember those days? Do you remember those days and think, man, I'm glad that's over? Or do you look back with a smile or like?
I look back with a smile, like, you know, like being young, and although it was a bit intimidating and scary, like you were free. I could do, you know, what I want. Like no one knew me, so I could just have fun. I skateboarded a lot. I love skateboarding. So no, I think those memories and those things I've done in life has really shaped.
Is your girlfriend, is she also South African?
She's British. Yeah.
Okay, so you met her here.
She unfortunately supports Manchester United. Let's not go there. Come on, Liverpool.
Is that why you're buying in Liverpool? Yeah,
exactly.
So what then did you do then? So you've got the one property making your grand a month. Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend's working. What was her...
Her background, so she was a luxury hotel operations manager,
right.
And now she's just working for her parents' pub that they have on like a long lease.
So she's like, I got the bills covered.
Management side of things, yeah.
Great, yeah. And that was what, like maybe about 9 months ago now when you kind of took the plunge and went.
Exactly, yeah, 8-9 months ago.
About 8 months if it was April. So what happened since then? So what have you done in the last 8 months?
So we've taken on another 3 rent service accommodation properties that are all doing very well. I actually did a joint venture with my girlfriend's mom. We bought a house in Middlesbrough. I took a loaned a bit of money from her to join the academy. And then I put that amount of money back into this deal of hers because she just wanted someone to hold her hand a bit, you know, because I obviously had the mentors and all of that.
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting sort of setup then. So let's get this right then. So you want to join the academy. Academy's mm-hmm. £12,000. So your girlfriend's mom loaned you the money
exactly.
to join the academy. On what basis? What did you say? How did you picture that?
So again, they're very supportive. They're just the most amazing people. And yeah, I think she believed in me. She knows that I'm very driven and, you know, I was going to make it happen. You know, if it wasn't in the next year, you know, this year, it would have been the next.
Yeah.
So she was just like, you know, pay me back when you need to, when you want to, you know, when you can.
Wow. That's very kind.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust.
So it wasn't like a business deal. It was just like.
No, not that loan. And then it got into business. So we set up our own limited company. Then we purchased a house in Middlesbrough, which is going to be, it's like going to be return investing like 30-35% after the refinance. That's going to be done in the next
month. How much did she have to put down to secure that deal, that middle
So it is £46,000 cash purchase.
Yeah.
That's
the purchase price?
That's the purchase price, yeah.
What? In Middlesbrough. I thought that was the deposit.
No, in Middlesbrough, it's like a 2-bedroom house.
47. It's 47 grand for the whole house. And are you buying it cash?
Yeah, to sport cash.
So you're buying it cash, spending how much on it?
50,000. So we're converting it into a 4-bed, 4-bathroom HMO.
Is the conversion ongoing right now?
We've had a few hiccups. Project managers weren't the best.
But no Japanese knotweed.
No Japanese knotweed. Touch wood. And yeah, it's going to be finished in the next 3 weeks and then we're going to be refinancing it. GDV like 120.
Nice.
The money left in with the rental income, it's like 30-35% return.
So you're buying it for 47, spending
50,000.
So all in all, you're about 100 grand. Mm. Did you have to pay stamp duty?
We did. So we actually did. It was like 1,300.
Sure.
But I'm actually in the process of claiming that back.
Because it was uninhabitable?
Pretty much. Right. Yeah. Right.
So you're going to get that back, hopefully with some interest.
That would be nice.
they normally do.
Really?
That's interesting. If you pay stamp duty...
And
you're not supposed to. When you claim it back, it's very small, but they'll pay you back with interest.
Mm, interesting.
So about 100 grand all in, 120, so you've got about 20 grand profit. Then you're going to get a mortgage after, get back the majority of the money. Your girlfriend's mom will get paid back the majority of money she put in. And then the house is owned in a company?
It will be owned in the company. So since that, her circumstances have changed a little bit. And because I only had such a small percentage, I thought it wasn't right for me to say it. So I sold her my shares of the equivalent that she lent me, the money for the academy. So I'm out of the company now. We all even.
Oh, and so the house is now hers?
Yeah, completely hers now.
So she paid for you to do the academy.
We did.
You paid her back with a house.
Yeah, pretty much, indirectly. Yeah, so we did a joint venture. We set up the company and then I just said, no, like I'm going to be managing it for her. But yeah, I just said, you know, because I still owed her that money technically. I just said, you know, rather you benefit 100% from
this. What a great way to pay people back.
Yeah, it worked.
Get your friends and family to pay you to do the academy and then pay them back in form of a house.
It works.
Absolutely epic. So she must be over the moon.
Yeah, she is. As soon as that refinance comes in, you know, I'm sure we're going to be doing another one.
Would the rent be on that little property?
£400 per room, so £1,600.
£1,600
yeah.
for a little 47 grand house.
And the mortgage is going to be minuscule, yeah.
Yeah. Brit, mate, yeah, respect, like
£500 or so.
Are you going to buy more like that, though, but yourself in future?
So, yeah, so it'd be nice to see, like, the first BRR project go well in regards to, you know, the numbers and stuff being correct, because my first one wasn't the best. So, yeah, that's going to give me a lot of confidence. I've got a bespoke investor. I've actually onboarded them today.
Yeah.
I'm going to be finding her a BRR as well. So
what
are
you making at the moment from your rents, from your property portfolio that you've got, that you've, you know, your rent to rents and your own property? What kind of cash flow are you getting after all the expenses? What are you making a month?
So on average, so a lot of the properties are new. We took them on like, you know, 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
So they're just generating things. But on average, like 800 to 1,000 per property.
And how many properties?
So 5 in total.
5 in total. Yeah. So you're getting a sort of around about 4.5 grand a month.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that more than you're making when you're on the ships?
So this month, including the deal sourcing, I've made, it's 7,500 profit this month.
Nice. Talk to me about the deal sourcing then. What's that? How are you, what are you doing there?
I hate deal sources and I never wanted to become a deal sourcer. I think I had a very negative mindset about it because—
That's weird. I love deal sources.
Now I love it. But I think at the time when I was just starting the journey in the academy and all of this stuff, I just had external deal sources like being very pushy and calling me, you know, and sending me just repetitive texts. And I was like, dude, I'm not at the right time not to buy a deal. I want to do it myself. So I think I just had a negative mindset and it took me like 3 or 4 months to actually shift that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just all deal sourcing, to be honest.
It's good when people are bad because it means when you're good, you shine.
Because that's true.
If there's people in the industry that are being a bit hard selly and a little bit annoying, when you're professional and not like that, then it's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, no, so I'm excited.
For anyone that doesn't know, what is deal sourcing? How does it work?
It's very basic. So you have an investor or someone that wants to invest in a rent-to-rent or, buy a property, a BRR, and they have the money. You've got the time. You've got the knowledge. Well, I've got the knowledge. I've got the time. I go out, do all the legwork, you know, make sure the deal's good, run it by the mentors, get everything packaged, you know, paint the vision, paint the picture of the end results and the plan in their head. And they just pay a once-off fee. It ranges from 3,000 is like the base really.
Yeah.
And it goes up to, 2% of the purchase price.
So you're selling a couple of deals a month, getting a bit of money coming in from that.
Exactly.
Then you've got your rents and rents. Now you're building your portfolio. You've paid back your girlfriend's mom via a house. How's life changed then? How are you? Where are you at now compared to say a year or so ago?
I think I'm a lot more stable right now. Like in the last 3-4 months, it's really taken on so many new property rent-to-rents in a short space of time. You know, there is a lot of risk. There's a lot of outgoings and stuff, but you just got to trust the process. I've got like the medium long-term strategy, so I've just got quite a lot of long-term guests currently. So I think right now, my vision of like where I wanted to be in life, I suppose, is just like quadrupled in size. You know, like this is only the beginning. I feel like I'm only at 10% and I've got another 90 to go. So I'm very excited. Life's good. My girlfriend's still working. The next step, I've raised a bit of finance as well, like £30,000 in investors finance to take on a few of my deals, like rent to rent and obviously the BRR. So I'll be paying those investors back with a nice fixed interest. And then after that, then my girlfriend will be working full time as well. And then I think together,
full time within the business.
Yeah, yeah. And then together, we're gonna blow up for sure.
That's exciting, and it's been great getting to know you as well because we hang out quite a bit. Talk a little bit about the Sunday socials, some of the stuff that we get up to on the academy.
So Sunday socials is beautiful. We obviously open up the church that you go to, so it's very welcoming. I'm a Christian, but yeah, there's all sorts of people there. It's just amazing to see you and the family in church and, you know, just being so loving and kind. And then afterwards, after the worship, we go and we get our ribs broken by you.
Tell me the story then, bro. Tell us the story.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of boxing.
You're very good actually.
Thank
you're
you.
You're very, very powerful.
I should train, but like I did it like played around back in the day.
Yeah, but you can tell you've had some experience.
Thank you.
Because we've obviously sparred quite a bit and you hit hard and you move good. You're very fat. You've got a fight coming up on Sunday.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I've signed up. I'm going to be training for the next 5 days to not be so unprepared. But yeah, so we're at the boxing. We're like having a little warm up, like slight pad work session, you and I. And yeah, we did like a few, I suppose, maneuvers. And yeah, you hit me on the ribs.
We're doing one for one sparring.
Yeah, I think it was two for two or something, like boom. And you jabbed and then you just hooked me here and I just dropped to the floor. Like I thought you just winded me like with the kidney shot. But I think like 3 days later, I went to the doctor because I was in severe pain. And yeah, they said like, I cracked the rib. You cracked the rib. I mean, but it was all love, of course.
I didn't know how I felt about that. Mm. Part of me was like, yeah, man. But then I was also like, oh man, I hope it's okay. Because we didn't see for a few weeks.
It's true. I think it was like, it took me about 6 weeks to actually be 100%.
We saw you at the property training event. We just didn't see you boxing for a little while. Yeah. So you're gonna get your payback. I think soon. I need to be careful with next time you come on.
Every
Sunday.
Time I come on Sunday, I pray I'm in the ring with you.
I bet.
I think Sally knows there's a bit of beef.
I bet. No, but it's good, man. And I think as well, like working out together, fellowshipping, being able to go to church, just do life. You know, I think for me, it's one of the reasons why we're on the academy, and you've been a massive asset to the academy.
Thank you so much.
You know, not just becoming successful yourself, but also pulling up some of the newbies and helping people, inspiring people. What would you say has been like some of the key takeaways then over this last sort of eight months or so? What have been some of the biggest lessons if you were going to advise someone that was just getting started?
Just getting started, like just actually start, book on a 1 pound crash course. You know, that's where it all began for me and like most people in the academy. So like that is probably the biggest decision I've made in life. And it's 1 pound. But other than that, I think like seek help if you need it, like don't suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Thankfully the mentors have been there for me. Like I probably should have called them a bit sooner when I had problems sometimes, but they've always been great. And then I think just get yourself in that environment, which for me has been in the academy. You know, when you see other people making £100,000 here, like four rent to rents, financially free, you know, it just drives you. It gives you that motivation to really achieve what you want to achieve.
That's epic, man. Well, listen, look forward to seeing what's next.
Thank you. Congratulations on
everything you've done. And it's been a real pleasure working with you and seeing you win. So thank you
so much. Appreciate it, Samuel. Thank you so much.